Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Good morning! That's right. I still think the Yankees are going to win the series, and Marco thinks I'm crazy. Go win tonight! Go win tonight! It's a three-game series. There's a reason they play three. Got to go win two. Tomorrow, you know, during one of these breaks, I'm going to go back and see how many times the Yankees won a series, losing game one and winning the next two. They got the pitching matchups. It's not over. It's not over. We've been breaking down all the different elements of the game, obviously. It's been pretty much a Yankee playoff night. I apologize to all of you who want to hit me up on Twitter and say,
oh, another Yankee show. All you're talking is Yankees.
One, it's not true. I would still venture to say Aaron Rodgers in the two and a half, however many months, years I've been doing this, I would still say Aaron Rodgers is my most talked about subject. It's arguable. It's arguable. But obviously last night, frustrating loss for the New York Yankees. And the one thing we haven't really gotten into, and let me get to it here before I get back to your calls. I'm not going to reset. We know all of it. You hate Boone because he didn't leave Fried in the game. I get it. If you haven't been listening, I don't disagree with you. I just put it more on Weaver. He put Weaver in a spot to be successful. I thought there were signs of him losing control in the fifth and sixth inning and missing the outside corner badly a lot. I still think it's absolutely reasonable, and I can understand why anybody is pissed to not go to Fried, but to me, one out already, Weaver coming in for the eighth and ninth hitter of the lineup, he's got to get those outs. I put it more on Weaver than I do Boone. There's other mistakes Boone made, including putting Jazz Chisholm in to the game. Not sitting Jazz Chisholm, although I was weird about that one because I wasn't sure how Jazz was going to take it. And that's what I want to get into because obviously Jazz is pissed off. If you didn't see the post game, Jazz is at his locker as they're trying to talk to him. And Jazz has no interest in looking at the media. He's going through his shirts doing nothing. Like he's not actually doing anything. He's just trying not to look at the camera and show how pissed off he is or give an answer that he doesn't want to say right now. Jazz is obviously fuming. And I'll be fair, I understand why. I think I would be disappointed in Jazz if he wasn't mad. I'll be totally honest with you. He's supposed to be mad. This is a guy who had a 30-30 season. This is a guy with an over 800 OPS. This has not been a platoon player. Ben Rice, as much as he might be frustrated, I think there was better reasons to play Ben Rice. I think there were valid reasons to sit both of them, to be totally honest with you. But Ben Rice has been a platoon player. The entire year, Paul Goldschmidt plays pretty much against left-handed pitching, and you know Max Fried is caught. Wells has caught Max Fried almost every start outside of like last week where Rice finally caught him for the first time in the year. So like Ben Rice is used to it. Ben Rice understands his role. Jazz's role is the everyday second baseman no matter who's on the mound. So I think he has every right to be pissed off. I understand why the Yankees did it. I think Rosario has to be in the lineup considering his numbers against Crochet. And you don't want to put him at third base because that's too much of an important defensive position. You don't want to put him in the outfield because that's too much of an important position. So you put him at second base with Max Fried on the mound. It costs Jazz a spot in the lineup. I get it, but I know why Jazz is pissed, and I understand why. But here's the issue. He's got to get over it. And that's my concern. That's my only concern. He's got to get over it. And Aaron Boone has got to find a way, and I know no one has faith in Aaron Boone doing anything. This might be the one spot. Aaron Boone has got to be one of the guys. Aaron Boone has got to go find a way to talk to Jazz Chisholm and get him straight, because he's going to still play an important role in this. And he can't be pouting. I understand why he's pissed, but he can't be pouting. And he can't be standing there and afraid to say things and being so angry. And here's the other guy who this is on. This is on the captain. Aaron Judge has got to find a way to get Jazz Chisholm back on board, because he's clearly pissed off. Clearly pissed off. And they need Jazz. And maybe pissed off Jazz is a good Jazz. We'll see. But they need him for this game. They're going to need him tonight. And I could, you know, maybe some people call him a crybaby or whatever else, or I think most, because they hate Boone, will be with him because they hate every Boone decision, so they'll be more on Jazz's side than the manager, that's for sure. But I understand his frustration. I think he has every right to be upset. I'd be disappointed in him if he wouldn't care if he wasn't upset. But he's got to be a pro. He's got to figure it out. Can't be pouting in his locker. And he's got to find a way to get ready for tonight, because they're going to need him. Because he's going to be in the middle of this lineup playing second base, and he's got to find a way to get it done. So that's the bottom line. There's no time for feelings, right? Everyone says, oh, like, and I saw a couple people put out, oh, last year they did everything for Verdugo. They, God forbid, they disrespected Verdugo, had to do everything for Verdugo. And yet, and we complain, oh, we got to worry about this guy's feelings and that guy's feelings. It's all about DJ LeMahieu's feelings. Well, they didn't care about Jazz's feelings last night, that's for sure. They did not care about Jazz's feelings last night. So he's going to have to figure out a way to get over it and go make an impact in this game. And make sure that they don't, no matter who's on the mound, whether they end up facing Scooble or anybody else down the road, Jazz Chisholm's too good to take out. Go tell him, Jazz. Go make him understand it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on to you, Matt?
Good what's show. Up, buddy? How are you? Thank you.
Yeah, good, good. Can't complain. You know, there's one thing here that really bothered me about. First of all, I mean, look what happened in the ninth inning. He almost came back and won it. They got the bases loaded and nobody out, you know? Things happen, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess things happen. I don't know why they always happen.
Yeah, and I don't really think that what's his name? The relief pitcher that was with us.
Weaver?
Later. And, no, the relief pitcher for them that was with us.
Oh, Chapman.
In the ninth inning.
Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman. I don't trust him either. I'm not so sure.
He's been great this year. Look, and he got through. But yeah, look, the one positive of it, I guess, is that they made, you know, he had to get four outs last night. So we'll see if he's compromised today. And if they, you know, and then obviously he's going to have to be a part of the bullpen game if the Yankees win this game tonight. So they got to Chapman a little bit, no doubt. They got to him. They made him a little weird in the eighth, where he was, you know, mentally kind of all over the place, and he threw over to Volpe three times and gave Volpe second base. It's a bad mistake. He was able to get out Caballero on a fly ball, where I thought for a second the center Abreu and Rafael were going to run into each other there and have a lucky break and have a ball drop, but it didn't. And then he came back out for the ninth, and they got three straight hits. Look, and that's where the game is lost. And this was the open. My first thing I said in the open was, we can argue about what Aaron Boone did. We can argue about anything you want. We can argue about he should have left in Freed. We could argue about anybody but Weaver. We could argue, you know, anything you want. You got to play Jazz. You got to play Rice. Whatever you want to say. They had first and second, nobody out in the first inning and couldn't score a run. Bellinger strikes out on a high fastball up out of the zone, and Stanton hits into a double play. Yeah, they end up getting the home run from Volpe in the second inning and taking the lead that pretty much lasts all the way to the seventh. Doesn't matter. Against Garrett Crochet and this Boston Red Sox team, you know one run's not going to be good enough, and you had an opportunity to get to him right there. You had an opportunity to get to him in the first inning, break the game open, score a couple runs, and really set yourself up to go win this baseball game. And then the offense again in the ninth. Three consecutive singles to have bases loaded, nobody out. And you can't score the run. Can't score a run. Can't get that big hit. Stanton killed him. Stanton hit the double play in the first that killed him, and Stanton struck out in the ninth and killed him. And as great as he's been, and as much as I've praised him, I got to be fair, I don't think that his playoff resume is suddenly gone because of one bad game. I don't think I still view him as someone I expect to perform because he's performed so many times. But last night you could deem him, outside of Weaver, and I guess depending on who you are, which is 99% of the fan base, Aaron Boone. But outside of Weaver and Aaron Boone, the number one culprit in this game last night for me is Giancarlo Stanton. He has got to do something in one of, all he has to do something in one of those two. He doesn't have to do it in both. All he has to do is do something in one of those two at-bats. Judge got the two hits in those two innings. Goldschmidt got the hits in those two innings. Even Bellinger comes through in one of those two situations. Those are their big guys, 1-4. Stanton had to come through in one of those two scenarios, and he hit into a double play and struck out. Anthony in Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, great show as always.
You got it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I, you know, you were saying it. How do you not pinch hit Rice for Wells? I mean, yeah. I mean, that didn't make any sense. Listen, like you said, it could have went either way in that seventh inning. But as you said, you know, obviously we don't have the same Weaver as we did last year. So whether it was Max or whether it was Weaver, it was a toss-up. So the problem that I have is just from what Boone, said, he already made up his mind, you know, that inning, what he wanted to do. And he just told Max, can you give me just one more batter? I would have rather him said, can you give me the inning? Can you go one more inning? Because, you know, we watched all this year with Rodon. It's more likely Rodon goes maybe 4, 5, or 6 innings at the most. If it's a toss up between the two, I'd rather save Weaver. That's just the point to me. Max deserved to be asked, can you pitch the whole seventh inning? Because if he gave up a hit to the first batter, he was coming out of the inning anyway.
Right.
So let him keep going until he comes out of the inning.
And then, I know, but then the bullpen's going in with runners on in a one-run game.
I think that bullpen guys, okay, are more locked in when there's more.
No, that's crazy. Anthony, that's crazy. You're clutching at straws. Your argument of just leaving Max Fried in because he deserves it, that's a fair one. Don't tell me the relievers are better when runners are on. Don't tell me you feel better about the bullpen if Max Fried put a runner on first. Stop. That one, that's crazy. That's what I'm trying to avoid. Like, to me, I look at it, and I said this to Marco the other day, I look to avoid worst-case scenarios. Yeah, sometimes I want to chase best-case scenarios, like with Anthony Volpe and Caballero. Best-case scenario for me is Anthony Volpe at shortstop and Caballero off the bench. As long as Anthony Volpe plays sound defense and comes through a little bit offensively and what he's shown you in this first game, you feel good about that. But as long as he can be that guy, I'd rather play Caballero, despite everybody saying you got to play Caballero, Volpe stinks, blah, blah. That best-case scenario is Caballero on the bench, Volpe is my starter. I think that's the best version of the team. So I like to chase best-case scenarios and worst-case scenarios and avoid worst-case scenarios. To me, worst-case scenario is having Max Fried allow a runner on base and then going to the bullpen in a one-run game against Garrett Crochet in the back end of that Boston Red Sox bullpen. That's worst-case scenario to me. And Max Fried put on runners in every inning since the third. In fact, the second inning is the only inning he didn't allow a runner on. That's why I'm saying it's not fair to say it's the same thing that Cora made a different decision in the same scenario. No, he didn't. He went 17 straight batters without allowing a runner on. 17 straight. Max Fried had one inning in the entire game that he didn't put a runner on. So how can I have, like, complete supreme faith that after 102 pitches, losing the outside corner in the sixth inning, that Max Fried is not going to put a runner on? And we all admit the second he puts a runner on, we're going to the bullpen. In my mind, I feel pretty damn confident now I'm going to the bullpen with a runner on. That's worst case scenario for me. That's the last thing I want. The last thing I want is to bring in the guys with people on. He got the out. You're coming into a clean inning, nobody on. Get two outs before giving up two runs. He couldn't do it. I'm not saying it's a great decision because I understand the opposite take. He's your ace, lean on him. I get that. But it's more on the bullpen. It's more on Weaver for not getting it done. That is a position of the manager is supposed to put players in a position to be successful. That's a position to be successful. He didn't ask him to come in with the bases loaded and nobody out. He asked him to come in with the bottom of the lineup up and one out and nobody on. That's a position anybody, I don't care if it's Leiter, Hill, Doval, Cruz, Will Warren, I don't care who it is, that's a position to go out and be successful in. Sorry, that's how I feel about it. John in Maspeth, what's up, John?
You know, I'm not questioning, you know, whether taking out Freed was the right thing or not. He did get Duran out pretty quickly with three pitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the inning before, you know, he clearly was pretty much gassed. You know,
I don't know about gassed, but I thought I saw signs of getting to gassed. Yeah, I mean, I did. Yeah. I thought I did.
But the thing is, why go to Weaver out of everybody who's been struggling so bad lately? Well, he's given up 14 earned runs in 14 innings, and you have a full bullpen, and you go to the guy who's been struggling the most over the last month.
Okay, well,
why go to him over Williams?
Because he's got Williams for the eighth. Doval, you'd rather see Doval than Weaver? We disagree. Doval's over the place.
Listen, Weaver's been trash over the last 4 to 6 weeks.
Some of them he gave up.
Why go to him? He's not the guy he was April through July. You know, if you look at his last, you know, 4 to 5 weeks, he's been trash.
Look, what is his last 4 to 5 weeks? Let's go back. All right, so let's go back a month, right? A month. Let's go all the way back to at Miami on August 2nd, right? So. So August 2nd against Miami, one inning, no run. Let me just do this real quick. August 2nd against Miami, no run. August 4th against Texas, one inning, no run. August 5th against Texas, one inning, no run. August 8th against Houston, one inning, no run. Start from August 20th, right? Because this is what we're talking about. August 20th, one in a third inning, one run. August then against Boston, two-thirds of an inning, one earned run. So back-to-back one earned runs against Tampa Bay and Boston. Then he goes on a stretch of three consecutive outings of one and a third, one inning, no runs. Then he has two games.
He gave up an earned run and six of the 17 appearances.
I understand that, but he gives up an earned run against Houston. The big reason for the ERA is he gives up three against Detroit in that inning that everybody gave up in.
Yeah.
Right? And then he gives up five against Minnesota, and I forget which one of them was the one where they would have never went to him because they were getting blown out. But
now do me a favor and look at Devin Williamson's.
No, Devin Williams is better. That's why he's set up for the eighth inning in the top of the order. That's why Devin Williams is set up. If you're telling me like he's coming into a bases loaded situation, all right, Devin Williams, because he's been better. But they've got Devin Williams for the eighth. Weaver is there to get the final two outs of an inning where he's already got one out given to him, and it's 8-9. Like, that's the spot for Weaver. You got Devin Williams in the eighth, locked and ready to go at the top of the order. And then you got Bednar for the ninth. I don't know who else you want to bring in. Again, if you look at it, like everyone says over the last 12, 15 appearances, it's two outings where he gave up three and five. And one of those, I can't remember if it was the Detroit game or if it was the Minnesota game. But one of them, he had no business being in the game, but I think it was the Minnesota game. I mean, I think it was the Detroit game. They were going to go to a reliever. They were going to go to a position player. He wasn't even getting warmed up. They were going to go to a position player, and then the Yankees scored a run and made it less than a 10-run deficit, and they couldn't go to a position player, and they had to throw Weaver in at last minute. And he gave up like three runs. Like outside of two. If you take away the five runs and the three runs, and again, if we're talking about most recency, his last three and two-thirds, four and two-thirds, five and two-thirds. In his last five and two-thirds innings, he's given up two hits and no runs. and only one walk. I'm sorry. If he's unpitchable, close it up. Close up shop. If Weaver is unpitchable, forget the whole damn thing. What are we doing? Let's just go home. Weaver's unpitchable, guys. That's it. They'll make it through on, you know, two pitchers, Bednar and Williams. That's it. I guess every starter better be ready to go 7 or 8. They got two relievers that you can trust. That's it. I got so many people telling me he's got miserable numbers in the seventh inning. Like, are we serious? And, like, this guy can't understand why I think it's laughable. He's terrible in the seventh. You can't pitch him in the seventh. What are we talking about? Because he gave up, because he probably had a couple of bad outings in the seventh, so his ERA is higher. You'd rather pitch him in the ninth? Like, if you told me his numbers weren't good in the ninth and they were good everywhere else and you want to say, hey, look, he can't handle closing. Can't handle closing, can't handle pitching in the ninth inning. That's too much pressure. Leave him back in the seventh and the sixth and the eighth, fine. But people are telling me, oh, I'm okay with pitching him in the eighth or the ninth. It's just that lousy seventh where his ERA is sixth. That's just an oddity. That just happens to be some sort of weird, like, I don't know, he had a couple of bad outings in the seventh, so his numbers are up. You feel good about Weaver in the eighth because his ERA is better over the season in the eighth than the seventh? That's just random, bro. That's just random. It's random weird stuff that baseball will present you with every once in a while. Over his last 5 2/3 innings, he's given up one walk and two hits and no runs. And in the last month, he's had one outing of 5 runs and one outing of 3. Other than that, that's the reason his ERA is 7. He had two miserable outings. And again, one was only because they scored a run and the rules dictated they couldn't go to the position player. And out of nowhere, he had to get up and pitch in a blowout. You can argue about Max. You can argue about sticking with Max Fried. Totally agree. You can. You absolutely can. If your point is that Weaver is unpitchable, then close up shop, man. What are we doing? Then we just, that's it. There's no point. They can't win with two relievers. Weaver is their third guy. That's it. Weaver's their third guy. We've seen Cruz to come in the either fifth, sixth, or seventh, especially with runners on, because he gets the strikeouts. That's really Cruz's lane. Every once in a while, he'll just start an inning. But for the most part, they like to bring him in, you know, right after the starter to get innings, to get strikeouts if runners are on in the fourth, fifth, or sixth. Like, that's when Cruz comes in because he's got the wipeout split finger. Seventh inning, pretty much a clean inning. That's Weaver. He's got to get the job done. Bottom line. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Talk sports hands-free. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS at Paramount Plus.
All right, 432. McMonagle with you here on The Fan. It's been one of those mornings. Kind of a one-subject show. Everybody's got an opinion on Boone. Everyone's got an opinion on what went down last night. I'm going to keep saying it. Hey, if I'm back here again 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, which I don't know why I said if, I plan on being here. When I'm back here at 2 o'clock in the morning, if the Yankees have tied up this series, we're going to feel a hell of a lot different. It's one game. Yes, it's a three-game series. Yes, one game is very important. Yes, even since this has been instituted full-time in 2022, in this particular format with six playoff teams from each league and the wild card series and the two byes, since that particular postseason has been set up this way, not a single team has lost game one and won the series. Yes, the Yankees are in a tough spot. But the Yankees are the better team in this series. I still believe that. They got beat by a really excellent starting pitcher who shut them down. And they couldn't come through with the big hit. The offense is much more to the point. You can't score one run and expect to win this game. If Max Fried gave up three runs over seven and they lost this game 3-1, no one's complaining about anything, right? We are like, one run's not enough. And they had multiple times, multiple opportunities in the first and ninth to all they needed was a freaking hit. Couldn't do it. That is much more to the point of why they lost than any decision made by the manager. That's not to say the manager decisions weren't questionable. I think there's a couple that aren't even questionable, just bad. Bad. Not pinch hitting Rice for Wells in the eighth, bad. Putting Jazz in for defense in the eighth and allowing his spot to come up in the ninth and not having Rosario against Chapman, who literally hit a walk-off home run against Chapman in that building in 2020 as a Met. Like, I needed Rosario up in that. That's why he's in the game, to hit left-handed pitching. And there's, because for defensive purposes, in the eighth inning, they put Jazz back in the game, and now Chapman has a lane of left-handed pitching. That is much more of an egregious decision to me than pulling a pitcher who, again, lost the outside corner. In my opinion, was showing signs of fatigue. Not that he was definitely, the tank was empty, but showing signs of fatigue, couldn't hit the outside corner, and put a base runner on in every inning except the second. And the minute he puts a base runner on, I'm going to the bullpen now in a worse spot. There were plenty of things to get into in this game, but mainly, Giancarlo Stanton hit into a double play and struck out. They had multiple opportunities to break through and score runs. They didn't. They scored one run and lost. The offense has got to be better today. Carlos Rodon's got to be good. Offense has got to be better. Score some runs. Make it nice and comfortable. Save your bullpen so you can, you know, not throw it because it sucks and we can't trust it. But, you know, get ready for a game three where you'll clearly have the advantage. John in Hartford. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I don't want to continue the same theme, but just give me a moment here. It came down to Boone versus Cora. Boone blinked.
I'm going to tell you why. I know you're upset. I hate this narrative so much. It's so dumb to me. I don't get it.
Let me just say my side.
I'm not saying Cora's not a better manager. I'm really not. Cora's a better manager. He's won a championship. He's a better manager.
Let me just say why. Let me just say why. They were both built the same situation.
They absolutely were not.
They both, Well, I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. They both started the game. Both lineups were loaded up with righties.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they both were kind of playing it out.
Yeah.
The Yankees needed to get through. We all know they needed to get through the seventh to tee up what Boone really wanted to do. Okay. He got freed with out early in the seventh. Mm-hmm. Great play by Goldschmidt to get the out. Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd you rather have? Freed, your ace, giving you two more outs in the biggest game of the year, or go ahead and roll the dice on a bullpen that's been up and down all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I get it. That's your argument, and I get it. That's your argument.
Whoever triggered the bullpen and brought in the righty first had the leverage on the bench. And guess what? He triggered the bullpen. Bone triggered the bullpen.
Yeah.
Brought in the right. And he was able to use.
Do you know what Weaver is good at? Because he's good at getting out lefties. He gets out lefties better than righties. We've seen it time and time again. Boone uses that to trick managers into pitch hitting left-handed pitchers. And with Weaver's changeup, he has better numbers against lefties than he does righties.
Right.
Right.
Weaver, the same Weaver. He wasn't dominating all the time.
Now he's not the same Weaver. You keep moving the goalposts. This is not about who triggered the lefties first, who did this first, who did that first. The idea they're in the same situation is just not accurate. You want to look at it and say ace is on the mound, you know, close game in the seventh inning. It's the same thing. He let his pitcher go 117 and he went to the bullpen. It's not the same thing. Sorry. Again, let me spell it out for you. Cora had an ace, left-handed guy who, I don't know, is built like a truck, by the way, who retired 17 consecutive batters. He was absolutely dominating. He pitched 60 through six pitches in the seventh. He was completely dominant from the minute that ball left the ballpark off of Volpe's bat. From that moment until Volpe got the hit again in the eighth, he was dominant. Max Fried, as good as he was to make big pitches and get out of jams and keep putting up zeros, he put a runner on in every single inning except the second. He gives up a single in the first. He gives up a single in the third. Then in the fourth, a walk and a double. In the fifth, a walk and a single. The sixth, a walk, and then the double play. He was pitching out of jams the entire game. When you're cruising and you never have to worry about a runner being on base, those pitches from Crochet are so much less high leverage and so much less demanding on you than pitches when you're pitching with runners at second and third base in a one-run playoff game. It wasn't the same performance. As great as Max Fried was, he wasn't throwing the same level of game that Crochet was throwing. Crochet, from the moment he gave up that home run, was dominant. Didn't allow a base runner. Max Fried's pitching out of jams left and right. Max Fried walked three batters and gave up four hits. Crochet didn't walk anybody. And only gave up three hits to that point. He gave up four less base runners. And it was every single inning. To say that the managers are in the same spot is faulty. It's not true. If Max Fried had not given up a base runner since the second inning, I promise you, he would have been kept in the game longer. He didn't. He was pitching jam after jam. And in this fifth and sixth inning, he lost the outside corner to the point where pitches were non-competitive and it was brought up on the lousy broadcast. They actually, amazingly enough, they brought it up. When he got screwed on a pitch on the outside corner, they literally said, "Do you think it's because he's missed so badly on the outside corner during this inning?" That was the talking point during the inning. How non-competitive Fried was trying to hit the outside corner for a lot of that inning. That's not to say it wasn't a great performance or that you couldn't have stuck with him, but it's not the same thing as an absolute dominant pitcher going through everybody like a hot knife through butter. It's not the same situation. It's not. Steven Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Oh, let me reframe this a little bit, Chris. Here it is. Would you have taken this – if I told you in advance that the Yankees were going to be winning by one run in the seventh inning and the Red Sox had one out and no men on, you take that in a minute. And then if I would have told you that the Yankees were down but in the bottom of the ninth inning, they had the bases loaded with nobody out and a chance to tie the game, you would have taken that in a heartbeat. This is baseball. This is how this goes. And I'm not going to get into any hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to criticize or blame or any of that
stuff. Well, I mean,
stuff,
I guess, Steve, this is where we disagree. Because I am here to criticize and blame. The players! That's who I'm here to criticize and blame. I'm here to criticize Weaver for not being able to get two outs before giving up two runs. I'm here to criticize that middle of the order. I'm here to criticize Stanford into a double play in the first. I'm here to criticize Stanton for striking out with the bases loaded in the ninth. I will give the manager I thought he killed the ninth inning by going to Jazz defensively in the eighth and allowing Jazz instead of Rosario, the right-handed hitter with good numbers against Chapman, who I watched hit a walk-off home run against Chapman when he was a Met and Chapman was a Yankee in Yankee Stadium. I would have, as much as I love Jazz and I understand why he was pissed, like, I wanted Rosario in that at-bat. He's in the lineup to hit left-handed pitching. That was dumb. Not pinch hitting Rice for Wells. Dumb. There were two dumb moves from Aaron Boone. I just don't think giving Weaver an opportunity to get two outs before giving up two runs to the bottom of the order is one of them. It's all. That's the critical one. That's the one that changed and flipped the script on the game. I blame Weaver. He is one of their trusted relievers. He has to be. They don't have enough to move on from him. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be one of the guys. It's the seventh inning. Go get two easy outs. You're up 0-2. And then you have a 11-pitch walk? Throw the fastball right down the freaking middle. If he hits a home run, it's still a tie game. Do not walk him. So that's where we differ. I am, and it's not just baseball. No. I know that happens sometimes. No. Not good enough. Not good enough from Weaver. Not good enough from the lineup. Not good enough. Not good enough from Bednar giving up a run in the ninth. Not good enough. It's not just baseball. It's not. This offense has consistently not come through in big moments in the postseason for a long time now, dating back to Joe Torre. Forget Joe Girardi, Joe Torre. Not good enough. It's not just baseball. Not good enough. But sometimes it's on the players. Not good enough. Stanton, we love him. I kiss his ass constantly about how great he's been in the postseason. And that doesn't change from one game. But let's be honest. Not good enough. He's got to put the ball in play. He's got to do something. Can't strike out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, real quick, let's just get to the calls as fast as we can. Nick Bonigal here with you on The Fan. I got you another few minutes until the warm-up show at 5. Evan in Florida. What's up, Evan?
Hey, buddy. I know you got to go quick, so I'm going to start with this. Like you're saying good morning. For us, it's good night. I own a bar. So we always say tomorrow until we wake up.
I
appreciate your show. You're in my living room every evening, and I love your show, and I agree with you 99% of the time.
Thank you.
The free thing, though, is this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make it quick because I know you got to go on.
Yeah, yeah.
But the free thing, you're right. Crochet was a lot more dominant. But Crochet's more of a Randy Johnson. Freed's more of a, I don't know, Tom Glavin.
I'm not trying to give
him a hit over 80 miles an hour.
I agree. I'm not trying to tell you that he didn't have a great pitching performance. What I'm trying to tell you is he had to make more high leverage, high intensity, taxing pitches
100%.
than Crochet did. Can you imagine
Joe Torre taking Clemens out at 6 1/3 innings?
Excuse me?
Can you imagine Joe Torre taking Roger Clemens out after 6 1/3 innings?
No, I mean, I get it. It's a different world. It's a different world. No, I can't. It's a different world. Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Chris, there is zero argument for leaving, for taking mm-hmm. Max Fried out.
I couldn't
believe my eyes when he took him out. That's the first mistake. Okay. Second mistake is, you bring in Devin Williams. You bring in your better pitcher to get. And I'm old school. Devin Williams can't get five outs. Big strong guy like that. He's been unhittable for a month. And the third how do you leave Wells in a strikeout machine?
That I agree with. Devin Williams hasn't pitched more than an inning all year. He doesn't do it. He just doesn't do it. He's uncomfortable with it. They don't ask him to do it. He hasn't done it. You're not going to do something you haven't done all year in the postseason. Sorry, that one's out the window. I wish baseball were different. I wish we can go back in time when baseball players were tough and life was sensible and we understood everything and, you know, things made sense in our lives and, you know, a chicken in every pot. It's a different world. He doesn't do it. I'm not going to ask him to do something he doesn't do. It's either Fried or Weaver. That's it. And the argument for Fried is a valid one. I would never tell you that you're crazy. You got to go with Weaver. You could have left in Fried. I think it's a coin toss. I think you go either way. I think Weaver, once called upon, has to get the outs. That I put the blame on the player. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, less than 24 hours ago, you challenged the listeners to, you know, give you evidence of
you got one?
Boone being outmanaged by Cora.
Uh-huh.
I think the pinch running was poor. Decision, what the pinch hitting.
There was no pinch running.
They didn't pinch run for what, I think it was Wells, Goldschmidt, you know, he didn't do that.
No, we're not gonna you don't pinch run for Goldschmidt. That's in the ninth inning, you don't do it. Not down two runs.
But then whatever. Then for Wells, And then the,
well, you're giving me things hitting. You have. Wait, hold on. Let me just have. I'm asking for where he outmanaged, like in a particular move. They won the game, and you can argue with what Boone did. That's fine. But
who managed better last night? Who managed better last night?
Well, he won the game.
I want to ask you one.
He won the game and had less tough decisions to make.
I want to ask you one question. Last night, when you were watching the game, because you're always honest, man, I'll give you credit with that. When it happened and they took Fried out, what was your reaction? Because I got 100 texts saying, here we go.
My reaction was to go tweet Max Fried the ace. I was thrilled with Max Fried's performance. I said, let's get two outs at the bottom of the order. That's what I said. I said, I understand it. I said, I probably went, they're not going to let him finish it? All right. Like, it could have went either way. That's up to Weaver to get outs, man. It's up to Weaver to get outs. And let me ask you a question. I know you say all these people. If Weaver gets two strikeouts, ain't nobody going, oh, my God, thank God, what a terrible decision by Boone. Anthony in Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
T-Mac, I'm not going to pretend that wasn't an annoying loss. I'm not going to pretend that we didn't let one slip away. All right, but listen, we're going in, I think a lot of people felt the Yankees were not supposed to win last night, all right? Now, we supposed to win tonight. We're supposed to win tomorrow. You got to turn the page. If Boston goes out and beats us tonight or tomorrow, then you give them their flowers and you say they were the better team, they beat us. But Gerrit Crochet is a top three pitcher in baseball. Max Fried, as brilliant as he is, maybe top 10, all right? They had the pitching advantage. We were supposed to lose. The money line.
I think the money line was still the Yankees were the favorite at home. Look, I don't know about supposed to lose. I put it this way, and I feel this way still. I think Boston needed the game more than the Yankees. I understand game one, both teams needed on some level, but I think the Yankees have a better chance of winning games two and three than the Red Sox do. I doesn't mean that the, again, I'm not declaring that the Yankees are going to win the next two games. I'd be a fool to do so because it's not easy. But I really would have felt uber confident had, like, Boston needs to win the Crochet start. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They needed to win that game. Game three is clearly in the Yankees' favor. Doesn't mean they can't lose it, but it's clearly in their favor. This was the more important game for Boston than it was the Yankees. I don't know about supposed to. I don't know about that. I don't know if the Yankees were supposed to lose the game. I just think it would have been series over if the Yankees win it. Series not over if the Red Sox win it. Like, the Yankees are still in this thing. That's what I would say. But now they're at a disadvantage. Now the favorites in this series are clearly Boston. Rob in Bayside. What's up, Rob?
You know, Boone came in. I hate the numbers, playing the numbers game in the postseason. That means nothing in these short series and singular games.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed no faith in A. Fried and also Chisholm, because how do you sit these guys and pull them out in that spot go in the biggest game of the year? You're telling your guys, I don't trust these guys who've been with me all year long. And yes, you know what? 1-0 is good enough. When you got your ace on your mound, he's not escaping. He's getting out of these jams because he's a solid pitcher.
Yeah.
You trust him in those spots.
Look, I get it. They don't typically go over 100 pitches, but I don't think it was just the pitch count. I think it was the way he was pitching and the pitch count, and they liked the matchup of Weaver against the bottom of the order and getting you through. Because if you get a guy on, this is what I think the thought process is. If I allow Fried to go out there and he puts a runner on, I'm in a worse position because now the top of the order is against Weaver. I want to get through this and have a clean inning for everybody. I want Weaver to get a clean inning. I want Williams to get a clean inning. I don't want to make it dicey with runners and Fried put on runners in every inning. Unless you're just going to say, go get me seven, go get me that inning no matter how many pitches you take. Like, if you just say to Fried, listen, you're getting the seventh, I don't care if you throw 125. As long as you don't give up two runs, you keep the lead. I don't care what you have to do. You have the seventh. But that's not how they're going to treat it. No one would. He's going to get one batter. And the minute he puts on a runner, now you got a bullpen in a worse situation. But the Jazz, look, they brought in Rosario for this specific kind of at-bat against this specific pitcher. Rosario kind of has to play. So the question is, where do you play him? With Fried on the mound, defense at third base is so premium that I don't think they trust Rosario defensively at third base. You're not going to put him in the outfield. So if you're going to play Rosario, you're going to put him at second base. Jazz just got hit on the arm. Maybe he's banged up a little bit. Tough lefty matchup. I don't disagree, and I know why Jazz is mad, because he's not been a platoon player. Rice sat. Rice has been a platoon player. He's familiar with it. It's what he's been all year. Jazz is the starting second baseman. And to do that to him, it's not easy. There's no doubt. Christian in Yonkers. What's up, Christian?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, sir.
This is baseball is a game of feel. You cannot take out Max Fried. I understand what you said with how Crochet was dominating. Fried is pitching. Everyone's runners on base. But the Red Sox, they lit up. They felt the energy vibe. When I was at the bar, I felt the energy of the vibe.
You feel that nobody's feeling the energy and the vibe when he's 0-2 on Raffaello. You're just not. Yeah, you took Fried out of the game. I get it. Strike out Raffaello, and nobody's feeling anything. Weaver sucked. That's why you feel it, and we feel it, and why we spent 3 hours on it. Because he sucked. Don't suck next time. That's it. Tip, word of advice, Weave, if you're listening. Don't suck. I look forward to having a more in-depth conversation about other things tomorrow. Hopefully a Yankee win. Let's go, Yankees. The series isn't over. Thank you to Fleeks. Thank you to the callers. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Talk to you tomorrow, too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.